people from this Spotify question are, it seems to me that they're struggling with their children. And I'm talking about the ages of teenage to young adult. Now, this is what I do with my daughter. Just as I had came into this walk and I was living the world when I had my daughter, and she was, I would say, she was about the age, maybe about 8 or 9, when we really started to change our diet. We started with our diet first, and then we started reading more scripture. So if you have a child that's a teenager and you're starting out in this walk and they're already attached to this world, so to speak, you have to make it fun for them. If you get into this walk, you can't put all of the, like, the doom and gloom on their shoulders at such a young age. Because you have to also understand the bombardment they are getting from their devices and from media. And that is your job. That is your duty to separate them. When they come home, are they on their phones? When they come home, are they watching more TV than they're reading scripture? It all starts with you. I mean, we can have a dozen conversations of how to manage our teenagers and young adults, but it all comes down to you. You can't say, hey, I want you to read this book and this book. I want you to live this way. I want you to not do this. I want you to give up this food, give up these habits. Kids see through example. So they're going to be watching what you do. The only way you're going to be able to teach them is if you are showing fruits of the Ruach in order for them to follow you. Now, we all as teenagers were once, we all looked at our parents and we idolized our parents, but after a while, we looked at them as not being cool. So you have to also think like a teenager. How are you going to persuade your young adult and your teenager to be able to walk your walk? You have to almost make it appealing for them, which is make it fun. That's why I say, learn these feast days and make the feast days fun. Because when it starts off with the feast days, it'll follow in them trying to or want to walk this walk and then sharing this walk with their friends. You have to explain to them that this world is corny. You have to also show them the symbolism. You have to show them who they follow, how they follow them. You have to show them their celebrities, and you have to make the celebrity more corny and lame than yourself. Not saying you're corny and lame, but I'm saying they think sometimes you're corny and they think you're lame. So you have to do the work. You have to show your teenage children that the idols that they idolize are lame. And the only way you could do that is if you know the symbolism and numerology attached. So you have to do the work. You could pray for them. You can hope that they read scripture. You can hope that they follow you. But at the end of the day, they are getting too much bombardment from media and they can't hear you. They're distracted. Just as you as a teenager was distracted when your parents tried to tell you something. So it starts with you. All the guests that I've had on this show and in the future guests that I will post more episodes about, they are struggling with their children. It's just the way it is. It's going to be a struggle with them. Now, for my child, because my child is, I know how my child operates. I know her moods. I know her emotions. And she's like me. Most of you have to think like you, that's your younger you. How were you able to get through to you? If you could go back in time and talk to the younger version of you, what would you say? How would you do things differently? That's how you have to look at your children. They are a part of you. So somewhere in there is variations of you. What were you addicted to? What media was turning you on? What was your favorite idols? And how did you leave these idols? How did you leave this matrix? What were the things that turned you off about the celebrities that you followed? What turned you off about politics? What turned you off about this world to come out of it? You just have to see it through your child's eyes. And I'm not saying sit them down and make them feel a type of way where you're attacking them, but you have to be slick. Soft as a dove, wise as a serpent. You have to throw little shots here and there. Anytime that you catch them looking at a celebrity or following a celebrity or talking about a celebrity or worshiping a celebrity, hey, just throw in a conversation. Hey, by the way, they do this symbolism. Did you know that this is what everybody does now? You have to make the celebrity look and feel corny to them. Then they'll come out of it. If they watch you read scripture, they will read scripture. If they see you setting up the feast days where it's fun and enjoyable, they're going to wonder why this wasn't done early on in their lives. But they will cleave to it. It all starts with you and how you handle this walk. If they see you struggling in this walk, they're going to think, I'm not going to ever touch this because that looks like a struggle. Don't demand too much of them, but be patient just as you would want someone to be patient with you in your teenage years. But I will try to have more guests on the show to have children, because we can sit and talk about the things that our teenagers are into, but my child's not really into a whole lot. She does schoolwork, she does tennis, and she's at the house. Now, when she's with her mother at the other house, I don't know what she does. I don't ask her. But she knows when she gets to my house, it's a different ball game. She knows in this house, we worship and praise Yahuwah. I'm just now starting her. She likes the feast days. She asked me, when's the next feast day? I let her participate in her very first offering. I talked about that, the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. I let her do the offering. She's excited to do it. You got to make it fun for them. What are you allowing in your household? What are you allowing them to watch on TV? I mean, I don't know if you want to put the hammer down, but it's all about you leading by example and explaining to them where are we at in this generation. And if you are a babe in this walk and you have teenage children, it's going to be a struggle for you because you have not prepared yourself spiritually in the Ruach to try to change something that has already been set in motion. So it's all on you to decide how you want to approach your child in this manner while you're still trying to grow in the Ruach and grow in scripture. But you have to start with yourself first. If you want them to learn with you, make it fun for them. You got to make it appeasing for them. I'm not saying you got to sit them down and make them read 3 to 4 hours of scripture. I'm not talking about that. I'm simply saying dedicate at least 1 hour or even 30 minutes to start off with. 30 minutes of talking about scripture, 30 minutes talking about the stories of scripture and how it relates to them. Make it relative to them. Once you read a story in the scripture, ask them, has anything like this happened to you before? What are your thoughts on this? Draw them into the conversation. I make my child, till this day, I make her do low-key book report, like little book reports. I let her read maybe 2 or 3 chapters, and then I tell her, tell me 10 things about what you just read. And I'm going to save them. I'm going to save them, and I'm going to make a whole artwork off her Bible lessons. I'm just going to, you know, make a collage and put a border around it. And that's going to be her. She'll be able to see her lessons as art, but she'll be into it because she likes art. But you have to play to your child's strengths and watch for their weaknesses. See, my child's weakness, she will doze off sometimes. I'm not talking about she go to sleep, but she will get stagnant. I can always tell with her. I can tell when her mind goes all over the place. It's only because she's coming from another house that has no order, no spiritual order. So when she comes to my house, I know sometimes during Shabbats, she's used to being active at the other house. But when she gets to my house, I see her, she does this little movement or this body language of being bored and huffing and puffing. And just her overall motion. On the Shabbats, I know it's because she's coming from another house that allows her to rip and run on Saturdays or on the Shabbats. But when she's here, I try to do my best to calm that spirit without making her feel bad. Because I don't want her to resent me, and I don't want to draw out that rebellious spirit. But she knows I'm the head of this household. She knows there's order in this house. And she knows I'm going to tell her to do something, and she's going to do it. There's a certain fear that your child should have of you. Just like we have a certain fear with the Most High when he tells us to do something. So that authority trickles down. So if you do not have that authority over your child, that means you low-key may not yet have that certain type of fear or respect for the Most High. It starts with you, as I said before. That's going to be the theme of this show. It starts with you. If you are showing fear and respect to the Most High in the front of your child, even when you're wrong, that's the most beautiful moment. Is when your child looks at you and see you repenting or see you being wronged and corrected. They're going to understand there's a power over you. So when we grew up in our parents' house, we thought our parents was the power. That we didn't see anyone have authority over our parents. So we were low-key in fear of them. For a time. And when we got to be teenagers, young adults, that fear dropped off because we weren't getting spankings. We weren't getting that belt. But now, since we are being raised up in a new generation, and we're showing respect and love and fear for the Most High, our children see this, and I tell my child stories of how I was wrong and how I was corrected and how I had to repent. I share my stories of my walk with my child so she can relate to, and it draws her in. The one of the things I wish my parents would have done with me was share their experiences at the age that I'm at, that their age that I was. I would love to hear stories of when my father was 20 or 19 or even 15. I just never got those stories. I always got stories of how my grandfather was always so hard and harsh on my father and his brothers and sisters. But I didn't get no real experience to make me feel like, oh, I'm just like my father. I can relate to my father. I never got that. Only way I got that was through sports. That's the only way I related to my father was through sports. But for you as a parent, you have to find a way to relate not only yourselves, but relate scripture so they can see what this walk truly is. I tell my daughter, like, she found out the funny way when I told her we had to give up shellfish and give up eating pork. So when she was with her mother one time, she started eating sushi, and the sushi had shellfish in it. And she goes, oh, she not even knowing this, but this is Yahuwah in the spirit letting me give her a teachable moment. So she tells me, oh, I had some sushi and I think it had shrimp in it, and I had diarrhea. I said, this is Yahuwah correcting you, because we're not supposed to be eating those type foods. And she understood. Certain things she's now starting to understand because I'm alerting her to it. Some things she doesn't understand as far as the Ruach, as far as if she's being corrected or she's being blessed. But I always call it out soon as it happens. I go, what do you think this was? You think this was a blessing? And she goes, like, it's a blessing. Even little things. For instance, at the early stages of me trying to teach her tennis. Mind you, I don't know anything about tennis, but I'm only teaching what I see on TV. So we go out to the tennis court. And we start practicing, and I have a short temper. I know this. I have very low patience with anything. And I get sometimes frustrated with her because she doesn't seem to get it. So it just happens that another father and son pulled up, and his son was more advanced in tennis. I think he said he was Coco Gauff's hitting partner when she was in Florida. And so he stopped what he was doing with his son and came and taught my daughter had the proper way to do her backhand, a proper way to do her forearm. And so when I got in the car afterwards, I asked her, what do you think that was? And she goes, it was a blessing. This is the insight you have to have if you have children, especially young adult and teenage. You have to show them how to separate their true blessing, their true correction from the world. You're not going to be able to do that if you keep allowing them to listen to the music they listen to. If you're not educating them on what they listen to and what they see. If you just letting them come home, do homework, jump on their phones, watch TV, and then you trying to insert 30, 45 minutes of scripture reading, it's going to go one out, it's going to go one in one ear and out the other. There has to be more work done. And I know it's hard for some of you because you work all day. And it's hard to come home from working all day, setting up food and dinner, trying to be with your significant other for a time period, and then you try to teach scripture and how this walk goes with your children who are always constantly bombarded with the media, the satanic media of this world. It's hard, I get it. But that's what Shabbats are for. Your Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays should be dedicated at least to scripture. If you don't have work on Sundays, Saturdays, I mean, do what you can. But that's how it starts. You start implementing a fun strategy for them to learn scripture. That's why I love the Feast of Sukkot, because my child gets excited every time we get to these feast days, because, you know, she's going to set up the altar. She's going to watch. She's going to pray. She's going to watch me blow the shofar. She's going to watch me set up the tent. She loves that stuff. If you make it fun for them, trust me, they will cleave to it. And I explained to my child also, I said, "You, even though she doesn't know she's in this walk, she kind of gets an idea about what she's doing. I tell her, you're not going to have that many friends. Do not get attached to certain people. I tell her everything. I prepare her. Are you preparing your children for the world that's around them? Are you letting them know their social... their social environments aren't going to fulfill them as the way they think it's going to fulfill them? Another question I saw on the Spotify was about weed, alcohol, and other drugs and how it opens you up or leaves you susceptible to demons. Now, Sirach 38:4 talks about the medicinals or the medicines from this earth, that only a fool will reject them. But it also says in scripture, you should do all things with moderation. Now, if you have a problem with smoking weed, you have to understand where that comes from. We like smoking weed and drinking and doing drugs, you have to know that the root causes of that is not the weed, the alcohol, the drugs. The root cause is what are you dependent on? What is your emotions like? Because some of you do it to self-soothe, and some of you do it to escape. It's the feeling of escaping and self-soothing. What are you running from? Some people think, oh, I can just give up weed and give up alcohol. But it'll be something else that you're addicted to, because there's a deeper issue than you just smoking weed and drinking. What are you running from? Because if you're not confronting what you're running from, you're going to find something else if it's not alcohol or weed. It could be women. It could be something else that's self-destructive. It'll soon come out. Regardless of what that device is that you're channeling it through, it's going to come out. So are you addressing what that addiction truly comes from? Some of it could be generational, being passed down from family member to family member. Are you addressing that? Jubilees 10:12 talks of when Noah was getting the ark ready, that he was in command of what was going to happen in future generations after the flood. So the fallen angels taught Noah all of the medicines of the earth in order to heal diseases. Now, we already know where heroin comes from, opium comes from, marijuana comes from. They come from a plant. If you do too much of any of these plants, it will cause a behavior. But the real reason why you do these behavior comes from either you're, like I said before, escaping, or it's just generational, or you like the feel of it. Like it's just attached to your flesh because you like the feeling. You're self-soothing. That's something you have to address within yourself. So I had my medical marijuana card like 2 years already. And the only reason why I did the medical marijuana thing, because I had I tried to get a handle on my anxiety. And I had trouble sleeping. When I came into this, I couldn't sleep well. It'd be nice I don't sleep at all. It'd be days I'll sleep during the day and I'd be up all night. If you have a mind that never shuts off. My mind never shuts off. It is never rested. It is more active at nighttime because I was a nighttime person. More than half my life was staying up late. So it's like my nerves or everything are shot and it's all set on a calendar. To as soon as nighttime comes, I'm up. Now, does it happen all the time? No. And then also the anxiety part. So I started off smoking weed. But I tapered off of it. The more I got myself into this work, the more I tapered off of having the need to smoke it. Because I was more focusing on Yahuwah than focusing on my anxiety. So you find something that you truly have to understand why you search for certain things to do. Because at the first, it was getting out of hand. I was smoking just to self-soothe. It stopped being about my anxiety. It stopped being about me trying to get some peaceful rest. I was doing it all day during the daytime when I didn't have my daughter. So the times that when I started off this walk, when I was doing it, I was missing ample time. I was missing good time of being in scripture, looking at this system and finding out how to decode it. Back then, I wasn't doing any of that. I was barely reading scripture, but I was working through it. So once I found that I didn't really need to smoke weed during the day, I don't even need to smoke weed at all for medicinal purposes, I started now going to edibles. So I take edibles sometimes just to go to sleep. I don't like being up 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning for no reason, especially when I like to get up early to get my day started. So I do indica edible to go to sleep and cool. So, but it doesn't open me up to demons because I do everything in moderation. Now, when you do hard drugs like ecstasy, MDMA, coke, LSD, heroin, if you're doing hard drugs, that leaves you open because there's an addiction. It's a chemical response to that. There's a chemical reaction in those drugs that opens you up. It opens your brain up. That makes you self-reliant on pleasure. But it all goes down to generational, self-soothing, and escaping. Once you stop escaping, once you stop finding the need to self-soothe, once you know that those curses come from the generations before you, then everything becomes about moderation. Now, I'm not telling you be moderate with cocaine and heroin or opium. I'm not telling you that. Or prescription pills if you're addicted to that. I'm not saying in moderation, but I'm saying understanding the Ruach and understanding what the Most High has put here as far as a medicinal purpose, that is going to, it brightens up or it widens up your scope of what the understanding of your issues truly are. So the addiction thing, it's a Ruach. Demons sit around and wait for you. They know about your bloodline. They know about your families. They know about whoever put their hand in sin and they come back and revisit you because it worked with your family members. So they're going to see if it works with you. And you're going to be tried and tested based on that. So if you come from a family with alcoholism, it's going to come up on you. If you're a social drinker, you're going to be out more times being social. That's how it's going to visit you. If you are a loner, you're going to be in the house drinking. When you feel times of loneliness, you're going to be drinking it. When you feel depressed, you're going to be drinking it. But it all starts with you and how you manage your emotions when you feel certain ways. Demons like to know your vices, how you cope. That's the most important part. How do you cope? And then they go run through your bloodline and see how your family members coped. Other question was, how do you fight your battles with addiction, lust, masturbation, alcohol, weed? My brother is struggling. He wants to live righteously and walk this walk. Now, let me start off with lust and masturbation, especially for you fellas. I know it's a female problem too, but let me start off with you fellas. And let me be completely honest with you. That was always my issue when I was a child. I discovered it when I was in my teens, and it hit me hard for some reason, but I know it hit me hard because I have pedophile behavior in my bloodline. I have hypersexuality in my bloodline. I have homosexuality in my bloodline. So I kind of understood it now, why that spirit was on my bloodline, and it jumped into me. But I discovered it randomly. I was an exhibitionist, which means as a young teenage child, I would sneak out of the house, get butt naked, and just walk around town or walk around the residential neighborhoods. That was what I was doing. I would sneak out, walk around butt naked. I don't know why I did it, but it was just it wasn't self-soothing, but it was just lust and curiosity, the feeling, the pleasure of it. And then when I discovered masturbation, I could never shut that faucet off. It got so bad, I was doing it behind church. That's how bad it was. I would leave church in the middle of service to go around back behind the church and do it. It was bad. I'm telling you, I had it the worst way. And it was a fire that would never go away. Before I ran 2,000 yards in Penn State, before every damn game, I say I did that. And I did it maybe a couple of times before pro games too. It was just, it was a self-soothing thing. But it also was a lust thing too. And I really didn't get a handle on it until I would say 2 years, maybe a year and a half into this walk is when I really had a handle on it. And I didn't ask the Most High, please take this away from me. Because I read and seen memes and videos posted of pastors saying it's not up to the Most High to take away your sin. It's up to you to give it up. So in my mind, I had to stop watching Pornhub. I had to stop watching porn. And this goes with me also getting heavily involved with ecstasy and MDMA at this time. So then I would just take the pills and then not even have sex. I would just masturbate. So I was escaping and self-soothing at the same time. That was my outlet. So the more I was studying, the more I was in this word, the more I was in this walk starting out, I was trying to walk righteously, but I still had that thorn in my side that I just could not give up. Because the self-soothing felt too good. I didn't know any other pleasure. Self-soothing and sex is the only way. That was my pleasures. I felt better after that. But the feeling never lasted. It will last maybe a day or two. Then I'll be back doing it more and more to make up for the days I didn't do it. So how I went into this walk, I could say I was gentle with myself. The Most High was patient with me. He knew exactly the past of where I come from. He knew exactly what I was doing since I was a teenager. He knew exactly the spirits and the generational curses that was on me that kept allowing me to do this behavior. So he was patient. You also have to be patient with yourself. You cannot get down on yourself every time you slip. But you have to work through certain things and understand what's your triggers. What makes you get that urge? If you, every time you open up Instagram and you're following IG models, or if you're going to the Explore page and scrolling through and seeing them and clicking on them and checking them out, if you're doing that, you're hindering yourself. You have to know what your triggers are. If you like going online, stop going online. Find something. You have to fight that behavior with another behavior. Usually fasting and reading scripture will do it. Once your ruach outgrows your worldly self, you stop being fulfilled by doing these certain desires. So lust leaves you. Once your ruach is built up, you no longer need lust. Because you no longer need to self-soothe. That's how that works. You get cleaned, you get purged out. You can't purge yourself and leave yourself empty, because then lust is going to come back, masturbation is going to come back, alcohol is going to come back, and it's going to come back twice as hard when you feel certain parts, or once you go through this phase and this walk and you feel a slip or a snare or a depression or an event, they call them a canon event that happens, that says, oh, I don't know how to handle this. I have to go back to self-soothing. I have to go back to escaping. But if you build yourself in the ruach, that means you clean yourself out each moment at a time. You cannot clean yourself out all at once. It does not work that way. A lot of you may think so, like I can just purge myself and then, okay, I'll fill myself up with scripture and fill myself with the word. It's not going to work that way. It didn't work with like that with me. And I thought I tried to do it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be good for a week. I'm going to purge myself and get rid of everything. But as soon as a trial and tribulation happened to me, I went sprinting back to lustful desires. I went sprinting back to drugs, sprinting back to online porn, sprinting back to fornication. I ran back there and waited for the trials and the tribulations to kind of leave. And then I would be like, okay, I'm ready to do another 3 or 4 days. That's what happens when you purge a lot and then you try to empty yourself. And then walk this walk and be like, and hope nothing bad happens to you. You can't duck trials and tribulations. So what I did was start scooping from the top a little bit at a time, being patient with yourself. So I stopped going online searching for porn. After a while, it no longer was my obsession. When I got up in the morning, all the thing I was thinking about, okay, how many times I'm gonna masturbate today? I'll get maybe 5 or 6 in, 4, maybe 3 or 4. But when I started waking up and it not being on my mind was like, all right, go to the gym. Come back from the gym, take a shower. Okay, what I got to do now? Let me sit and watch these documentaries. I started scooping out chunks of my day dedicated not to porn, but dedicated to opening up my eyes and strengthening my ruach. I know some of you brothers, once you get into this, you think that those vices are just going to go away. No, it's never going to go away. It's never going to go away. It's always going to be in the back of your mind. Even when times get really, really hard, it's always going to be there. Even when I go through my trials and tribulations now, my mind goes to, okay, you got a computer over there. You know some of these online sites by heart. It's so bad, I can tell you what page certain stuff is going to be on before I even open it. But in my mind, I'm looking at the fear and the respect of the Most High that He dragged me out of these issues. So how would I look? I started feeling guilty. How would I look after all the Most High has done for me, provided for me, drawn me out of the shadows, planted me in still waters, blessed me abundantly, exalted me from who I used to be? What did I look like now going back on that? So that's scripture and words start to reverberate in my mind. So like I said, you have to fill yourself up and you have to purge yourself a little bit by a little bit. Because all the words that I was reading, soon as I was having those thoughts, scripture will cut that spirit in two. I started memorizing scripture. is the moment that I want to go back to my lustful desires, scripture cuts that out. As soon as it comes up, my brain like, nope, we not doing that. Sometimes he even mocks me, like, really, fam, you really gonna do that today? You really thinking about doing that today? Didn't we just have this conversation with the Most High? Did you just not pray about what the Most High has done for you? You really wanna go back to that right now? Are you that damn dumb? Then I'd have to tell myself, yeah, you're right. That's how it is in this walk. So my brother, if you trying to live righteously, if you wanna give up certain things, you have to understand what is making you go to these habits. What's making you attracted to this behavior? If you're into lustful desires and masturbation, is it because you have no woman around you? And it's because you have not done the work yourself to prepare yourself to get your covering or to be a covering for a woman. Because the Most High is not going to send your wife to you if you're still trapped in lust, still trapped in self-soothing, because you're not going to focus on pleasuring her. You're going to be focusing on pleasuring yourself. That is the trials and tribulations. If you can fight through that, the Most High will be gracious and merciful with you. That means the whole time while you probably know your wife, you probably talking to your wifey right now on an everyday basis. She's probably your friend. You don't even know it. Or she's probably your workmate. Or she's probably somebody live up the street. Or she's probably somebody you see in the coffee shop here. And so the Most High will not put her in your face until you learn how to stop self-soothing, escaping every trial and tribulation. Even if you have to fail in your trials and tribulations without going back to those habits, the Most High will be gracious enough to allow this woman to take two steps closer to you. But like I said, the theme of this show is starts with you and understanding why you have these desires and urges. I used to just say, look, damn, I'm a freak. I just what I like to do. But I started understanding that it was more than just me being a freak. It was me coming from generational trauma or whatever my bloodline was doing back in those days, that spirit, that lustful water spirit was going to run through me and it attached itself to me heavily. It skipped my brother and sister who are twins. It skipped them and went into me. It hit me first. It hit me and then skipped over them. So I had to deal with that. I had to deal with that around them. I remember the time I got caught. It was the most embarrassing thing ever. And you would think after being caught by a parent doing that, you would think, oh, you would lose the taste of ever doing it because it'd be embarrassment. Nope. It only stopped me for, I would say it stopped me for a week or two. Then I was back doing it again, but I was sneaky about it. I was like, all right, I can't get caught again. But you have to stop relying. But when it comes to fellas, I know you have to stop relying on your flesh to get you out of your issues. And that's what all of us have known since we came out the womb. That if we go through problems, we go through depression, we go through anxiety, instead of being vulnerable and talking it out with our parents or talking it out to friends and relatives and other relatives, we take it on ourselves to try to handle it ourselves. And we hope nobody sees us. But the issue, it grows bigger. It becomes a whole mess. And it'll come out. When you get, the older you get, it comes out. Because once you get older, you have no desire or no need to BS anybody. Once you go through enough trauma and enough issues, you at this point, you be like, I don't care. And that's the dangerous part of, I just don't care. Because then you don't just affect yourself, you affect people around you, and people remove themselves away from you to protect themselves against you. Because they like you so much or love you so much that they think if them trying to help you is going to do more harm to them than it does you, they will not mess with you. I've been through that phase. The times you want somebody to help you, but when you're in your I don't give a F phase and you want help, you need help along the way, people will not touch you. And the Most High sees this. Because the Most High also has to remove you from people you keep going to. He don't want anybody to help you but him. The longer you go, the longer it hurts. Until he knows you're going to be on your knees, begging and crying, asking for repentance, asking for help. Exactly how it went with me. When I start losing friends and I start losing family members, when I start losing dates, when I start losing girls, options, when I kept being embarrassed, that's when I fell to my knees. So it's a battle, fam. It's a battle you have to fight every single day. Every single day. You'll win a battle, you'll lose a battle. But it's the war you want to win in the end. You want to win more battles than you lose. But at the time, in the middle of your battles, you should be preparing your heart to have a deep respect and fear of Yahuwah, because that's where wisdom and knowledge comes. And we all know in the book of Sirach and Ecclesiasticus that King Solomon talks of wisdom as if it's a spirit and it's a woman. That you should cleave to this woman, cleave to this spirit, because she will not dwell in unrighteousness or unrighteous men. So the moments where you have her, take full advantage of her when you have her. So you can keep building your spirit up a little by little. And then you empty out the things that no longer you are attracted to. That's how you win the war. Keep scooping. It's not going to happen overnight. And it's not going to happen in a week's time or a month's time. But it'll eventually happen. I'm just telling you from my experience, to be honest with you, it'll eventually happen. Where being lustful is it doesn't fulfill you. While masturbating and self-soothing is not going to fulfill you. And it started making it really, once you do it, it makes you feel embarrassed. You feel guilty. Then you start remembering you don't want to feel this way. Even when you're in your worst or your most vengeful, wrathful emotion, you would still be like, nah, I'd rather sit with this emotion and let it torment me rather than put it going back. Like scripture say, once you put your hand to the plow and you go back, you're not fit for the kingdom. That verse continually comes up in my mind every time I get that urge. When I'm upset or frustrated, that verse always vibrates in my brain. Once you put your hand to the plow, if you turn back, you are not fit for the kingdom. So you keep these certain verses in your mind. And trust me, you ask for the Most High to help you give up your sin. I'm telling you, he will direct your ruach to certain scriptures so you can hold on to that scripture. So every time you think, that scripture comes up. That's how you that's how low-key how you remember scriptures. It'll be scriptures you remember, but there's some scriptures that you know are imprinted on your bones, that no matter what you do and how you do it, that scripture would be the cause of whatever action you're about to do. Now, another question was, what is your advice on how to properly observe the Shabbats? I fast from dusk till dawn while reading the scriptures, though I struggle to quiet my mind and listen to Yah. Well, I don't fast on Shabbats. And it's not from dusk till dawn. The Shabbats I'm on is sunrise to sunset. Maybe you can't quiet your mind because you're not properly doing the Shabbats right. So how I observe is I chill. I read scripture and be quiet. Or I even go to the beach and just go to the beach and sit. My Shabbats are calm and cool. If your Shabbats are all over the place, it's because, one, you shouldn't be fasting on your Shabbat. I mean, you could do what you want, but you shouldn't have to fast every Shabbat. And the reason why you can't quiet your mind, because the Most High is probably trying to tell you you're not doing them properly. Dusk till dawn is what No. It should be sunrise, sunset. That's it. Not at nighttime till morning. So what you are not quieting in your brain is the Most High probably telling, like, no, you're not doing this properly. You're not doing it correctly. Hi, can you talk about being in this walk as a single female and hoping to find a future husband, preferably already in this walk, and entertain men that is not in this walk but believes in the Most High, please? As a single female, well, I can tell you as a single male once upon a time that when I was in this walk and I was ready for a relationship, I knew that I was not ready. I knew I was not ready. I was trying to force things with people that I knew they weren't ready, even though they were, for one instance, they were Christian. But I'm out here I'm forcing things because I'm not walking correctly. So if you're trying to entertain or you're looking for a man to cover you as a single female, your first thing you should be worried about is how to be covered by your very first husband during this time period, which is Yahuwah. That is your husband. So how you serve your husband, no matter how long you figure out how to do this, but it depends on you. How you serve Yahuwah, your husband, is how it dictates who will be your husband. You should not be entertaining any man, regardless if you know the Most High or not. Because there's brothers that know the Most High that aren't truly following the Most High. They know of him, but they're not following him. Like that movie, White Man Can't Jump. They hear the Most High, but they're not listening to the Most High. You shouldn't be entertaining no man. The only man you should be entertaining, really not even entertaining, the only man you should be submissive to and obeying is Yahuwah. Because he has to set you straight first. Because if you do your own thing and start entertaining men who are in the spirit, it's going to corrupt your walk. It's going to corrupt your understanding because your heart and your emotions are going to be tied to men who don't really grasp the real concept of scripture. And you're going to be battling with ideologies and it's going to destroy your walk. It's hard to find men that's in this walk doing it completely right. You're not going to find a man in this walk that's going to be 100% right on everything he does. But you will not be able to know that, and you're going to be wasting time trying to figure that out if you are trying to entertain men, either they be in this walk or low-key not in this walk but thinking they're in this walk. You're going to fool yourself. And it's going to disrupt your walk with the Most High. Because now your focus is not on him, it's on men. It's on trying to find a husband, trying to find a helpmate, trying to find a covering. Yahuwah should be your first and only covering right now. Because there's some things that you haven't done that he has to prepare you for. So when a man that's going to be your husband, your goal is going to be your covering, he's going to make sure you are not being a hindrance to this man. Like I said, the Most High set up his household with him, Yahusha, the husband, you, and the children. If you're not listening to the Father, you're not obeying the Father, being submissive to the Father first, the Most High first, you're going to chance yourself with random men who may not be what Yahuwah wants for you. And if one of them breaks your heart, two of them breaks your heart, three of them breaks your heart and waste your time, you're going to want to come out of this whole thing altogether. And he does not want that for you. So the reason why you're either isolated and single at this point is for you to be obedient to him. And he has to try you. He has to put you through trials and tribulations before he can prepare you and give you to what you want and to what your heart desire. Same thing with me. I'm starting to get an understanding that the reason why I went through what I went through is so I could get broken down, built up, get understanding, get compassion, because who he has brought into my life, I wouldn't be prepared for that if I didn't go through discipline, correction in trials and tribulations. If he just let me go from one bed to one bed to one bed looking for women who are trying to be in the truth, it would corrupt what I'm doing. Because I would be basing it off on, I would base it all off on my past relationships. So even if I came into this walk and came into this truth, I would still have old habits that would be hard to get rid of. Because I haven't properly cleaned myself out by the Most High. So when I start serving Yahuwah, he started pointing me and putting me in situations to try me and then correcting me and disciplining me on the way before he even gave me my woman. But even then, I still learn correction while I'm with the woman that I'm with. But it's not, I don't handle things as if I would handle them in my previous relationships while I was in the world. So I really went around the bend, but what I'm really trying to say is if you're hoping to find a future husband, you cannot let that be the main thing. Your husband right now should be Yahuwah and how you serve him. Because how you serve him is how he's going to set you up with your husband, because your husband, at the same time that you are, he's serving Yahuwah. So it's a beautiful thing for man and woman to agree, it says in scripture. But if your husband that you have not met yet is following the Most High, and you're just looking for husbands to entertain, you're pushing your husband far away from you because you're not ready yet. You still haven't grasped the situation. You still haven't served enough. You haven't served Yahuwah enough to understand that there's little things within your psyche, there's little things in your emotions, there's little things in your heart, in your past that you have not corrected, and it needs to be corrected. So all single people, I'm only telling you from what I know, that you cannot let loneliness and being alone and being isolated thwart your walk because you're so ready for a covering. You may not be ready. A lot of us get into this walk and be cool for a whole month of, oh, I got this walk. Now I'm ready for my main thing now. I'm ready for the main event. And the Most High will put something in your way and show you, you ain't ready. See, you still do this. And you've been doing this for a while now. You still haven't stopped this. That's why some of you are being held back from your covering, because you haven't figured that part out yet. You get good in this walk for a month or two and be like, oh, I got this. And the Most High be like, all right, you think you got it? Boom. Something from your past comes up and you fail or you fall, or it becomes a snare and a stumbling block to you. Then you'll be like, oh, I guess I didn't have it. I've said this many a times where I prayed to somebody, said I knew I wasn't faithful in my relationships. I know I was the issue in most of my relationships. You got to put that on the altar as well. You got to know what you're horrible at. So the Most High be like, I know what you're horrible at. I just want you to say it. I want to hear what you're bad at. So by you saying it, I'm going to show you where I can fix what you're bad at. And then I'm going to try you in small portions so you can build yourself up and conquer whatever you had trouble with in your past, and so you won't be a hindrance to the person I'm going to give you for life. That's the beauty of this walk. That's why I said you can't purge yourself all at once. It doesn't work that way. You got to scoop here and there. Scoop out here and there. And the more when you're scooping, you're replacing it with scripture. You're replacing it with correction. You're replacing it with discipline. You're replacing it with obedience. Small doses. It does get to a point where you take chunks. You risk and take chunks out, and you know exactly what to put in to cover it up, to cover up the chunk that's missing. That means you're fasting. That means you've given up certain relationships. You give up certain vices, environments that you know you don't operate well in. That's how this walk goes. Then there's another question. Please explain why Catholics say that Jesus Christ founded their church. I know that Catholicism is just pagan at the core, but why do you think this is? It's because Jesus Christ to them is not the Jesus Christ of Scripture. If Edom is the daughter of Babylon, that means if you go all the way back to the very first, I wouldn't say the very first religion, but the very first worship of the Trinity is Semiramis, Nimrod, and Tammuz. If you look at the Mother Mary, God of Heaven, that's actually Semiramis. So who founded their church is Tammuz. It's not Jesus. They just say it's Jesus Christ, which is the reason why I don't know why Christians continue to say Jesus Christ, because they just covered that up, and it's really Tammuz. All they did is whitewash Semiramis, Nimrod, and Tammuz. That's all they did. So the reason why Semiramis was God, the goddess of heaven, and the reason why Mary is Mary is the mother of God, is because it's Tammuz. That's why most Christians and Catholics think Jesus Christ is a god, is the God, that he somehow he somehow was in jumps in front of Yahuwah. But that's why they do that. How to stay consistent in this walk and in his spirit. Fam, like I said before, it's knowing yourself. To stay consistent is know the things you cannot be around. And the things you can't be around, they will come back to you in different variations. Whatever you fell or snare or whatever's a snare or a stumbling block to you, those things will come back to you in different variations. Variations you haven't even thought of before. So if your thing is with cocaine, it will come back as sugar. Once you know sugar is your issue, it'll come back with like salt. Once salt is your issue, when demons are done with you, it'll come back looking like cyanide. Do you understand where I'm going with this? It comes back, with your vice is, it'll come back in different variations to try you, to see how good you are. But if you keep failing, so if it means if you go on from cocaine, you go into sugar, and then you go into salt, and you end up with cyanide. And I say that because all these things look completely the same. To the human eye, it looks completely the same. So when it's ready to be done with you, you haven't learned your lessons, you end up in cyanide, and it kills you. So the staying consistent in this walk means you know and you reject everything that comes in the very form that made you fall. If lust and masturbation is your issues, you stay away from certain environments that you know is going to be all women, or you don't go to nightclubs. You don't go to different places, or you don't go to different restaurants and bars where you know there's a lot of women at these places. And these women are dressed provocatively. You don't hang out in certain friend groups who likes to take you to different places where they're going to be single women. That means you have to cut off certain relationships. That's how you stay consistent, is knowing what the Yahuwah has saved you from, and you stay away from all variations of whatever this spirit is that's trying to wreak havoc in your life. Regardless of his lust, weed, alcohol, what all that, it all comes down to, I'm going to say it 100 million times on this episode, I think, it comes down to you. What made you fall? And know that what made you fall will be the very thing that keeps coming back to try to make you fall, but in different ways. They'll come as your friends. It'll come as your family. Like I said before, the devil, Satan, doesn't show up to your door with a pitchfork, horns, and all red. He comes back everything you ever wanted. So it keeps getting better when he comes back. So if you say you reject it, let me think about this. Say your thing is, I don't know, man. Say your thing is big booty women. I'll just throw that out there. Say the way you fall is big booty women, okay? And you reject this one woman that tore you up so bad that you had to go seek the Most High to get rid of this person in your life, okay? Now, this big booty that you were attracted to will come back to you, But this person will be in a religion. It will start talking all the sweet things of God, Lord, Jesus, to make you feel comfortable to drop your guard down, sneak up in your house. And then soon enough, you find out that she's not only cheating on you, she cheating on somebody else she done had while talking scripture talk. Okay, she'll come back and that booty will come back just as big as the first woman, except this woman is a little bit low key smart about how she talks to you. It's all a ruach. Okay, once you survive that, then you'd be like, oh, please get rid of her for me, y'all. Get rid of her for me. Okay, now Satan will come back again. Maybe not with a woman. You'd be like, okay, now I don't want no big booty woman. Okay, he'll send you a big titty woman. She'll come into your life speaking all the great things, all the beautiful things you want to hear. And you actually spend more and more time with this woman. But as soon as your walk changes, as soon as you want to do something differently that Yahuwah wants you to do, and you bring this up to her, all of a sudden that Jezebel spirit comes out and wreaks havoc on your life. Then you go back to the Most High. Oh, please, 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 get rid of her, get rid of her. And the whole time you are not understanding that you are placing these women before Yahuwah. That you have not once said, okay, Yahuwah, please send me a woman that you know I can cover, but prepare me. You're not saying prepare me first. So you taking chances on whatever your snare, whatever your stumbling block is. So you trying to master it yourself and not allowing the Most High to work for you. You're trying to do the work that he's doing. And you're not being patient. So, like I said, once you rejected it the first time, it'll come back in different variations to make you fall. You have to be understanding of yourself first to know why you fall, why you feel lonely, why you need somebody and need attention, why you need that drink, why you need to smoke that bud, why you need to watch that porn. You have to understand yourself first. Because those trials and tribulations are never going to leave you alone. I'm telling you, they're never going to leave. It will flee from you once you reject it 3 or 4 times. But it'll always come back in different ways. This is how you stay consistent in this walk. You always got to be sharp. Always got to be sober-minded. Always got to be diligent about what you are doing when it comes to this walk. Even if you have to stop yourself and fast and pray and break down, and it's necessary. Never let yourself get stagnant. Never stay still in this walk unless the Most High makes you still. And that's something you and him have to have that kind of conversation, because I can't tell you how that works. Another one. What's up, Larry? I have had a few close members die of cancer recently. It just got me wondering there is a proper way to go about a burial for someone in this walk. I'm just telling you to read Matthew 8:22, because Yahusha said, let the dead bury themselves. Especially when I think a guy wanted to follow him, like, oh, I'll follow you, but I got to bury my family member and then I'll come follow you. Yahusha told him, let the dead bury themselves. So there is no true burial while you in this walk. I mean, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which is Yasharel, they were placed in the cave. They had a little, you know, goodbye ceremony and then went on about their business. But when it came to Yaakov, when it came to Jacob, there was a whole war broke out because Esau showed up with his children. And they got to fighting with Joseph and the 12 sons over Yaakov. And that's how Esau fell. Causing ruckus. It was a movie. It talked about something about, it was some black, corny black movie that was a comedy movie. But I think what Chris Rock was in it, maybe. I can't think of it right now, but it was something about a funeral. And it just, everybody was fighting at this funeral. That's what it was. They just showed up. Esau's like, no, you can't be buried up in here. This is my place. I own this. And he's like, nah, they got the fighting. But there is no way, there is no proper way to bury anybody in this walk. It's not even, it shouldn't even be on your schedule of how to bury anybody while they're in this walk. You say your goodbyes, you move on. And you prepare yourself for your day. They already had their day. Now you prepare yourself for your day. Another question. I'm the only one in my family seeking the truth of the Most High. I come out of Christianity and false teaching. How can I help my wife see the truth? I would say read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, especially when he talks about you being a husband, being a coverer, that you will sanctify your wife. So if you want to get your wife to see the truth, you would have to walk the truth, show the truth. And when it comes to women, you have to show them through your how you handle their emotions. I've learned this late in life, but I learned it nevertheless. In order for you, for your wife to see the truth, she will test you based on her emotions and how you react to it. So especially when you're wrong, it's never when you're right, it's when you're wrong. When you're right, women is a hit and miss if they actually pay attention to you and know that it's Yahuwah that's making you right. But when you are wrong and how you correct yourself and how you show yourself studied and approved of scripture, when you are wrong, that is how you will bring her into this truth. Like I said before, when it comes to my apologies, I always like to follow up my apologies with scripture to let my partner knows that I'm not governing my own apologies. I'm not governing myself. The Most High is governing me. He is my judge, jury, and executioner. It is he who disciplines me to be right for you. So once your wife sees that, she's going to learn like, oh, there's an authority over your life. I understood this when I was in my dating years of really my fornicating years. I understood that women only respected you when they found, once they understood the authority over your life. Now, if women see me spend a lot of money, they think money was the authority over my life. So they're like, all right, he's not going to do anything stupid to me because he wants to keep getting money. And when I proved to them that I didn't care about money, that's when they like, oh, he ain't got no authority. It's hard for me to control him now. They will walk away from me. Now, when I introduce women to my father, they would say like, oh, he has a dad that's still married and he keeps talking about his respect for his father. So like, all right, he's not going to do anything stupid to me because he has his father will correct him. And once they found out that I was out here like an outlaw, and I didn't care, and I didn't have any, that my father didn't have no authority over my life anymore, they were like, oh, shoot, he's really crazy. So then they will walk away from me. When they saw that I loved playing football, they saw like, oh, his authority is football. He likes to play. So I know he's not going to do anything stupid because if he does, I can make it seem like, okay, I will go get him arrested or whatever. And he's never going to do nothing stupid to me because he wants to keep playing football. And once I showed him that I keep slipping in this area, they would walk away from me. So now I understood that about myself. So in order for me to not let my woman out of my sight and that my woman stays in my household and that my woman stays cleaved to me, I have to show her now that it's not money that has authority over my life. It's no longer football that has authority over my life. It's no longer lustful desires that have authority over my life. But he that has created me from the womb that has authority over my life, that is what draws her into this truth. So whenever you fall or make a mistake with your woman, man, bring out scripture and say, hey, baby, I was wrong, but this is what the scripture I found that shows how I can correct myself. Once your woman sees that, fam, I'm telling you, her eyes will pop out of her head and she will have a different respect for you. Especially in the age of no one being accountable for their actions and people showing irresponsible ways. Once you step out of that mold to show her even your apologies is not of this world, once you show her that the apologies and your remorse is of the Ruach and not of this world, she was like, he for real. He's just not being fake modest just to get back in my good graces. Because, you know, women always want to have that emotion in the back of their mind. Oh, he's just doing this to shut me up. Oh, he's just doing this to get over because he know how weak I am for him. Once you really come with scripture, fam, I'm telling you, it erases all those options of women backtracking into those overthinking thoughts that they have when somebody says something that they're not prepared for. My brother sent me a text before. He's like, He said, one of the things, he said, women are always thinking 24/7, and it's our job as men to quiet their mind. So when you lead your apologies with scripture, you quiet their mind to thinking it is from any other angle other than you coming at it through Yahuwah. Now, all the other ways is also during the feast days and during Shabbat. You also have to be patient with your woman. Trust me, go to Yahuwah. Don't go to your woman, try to correct her and be trying to discipline her. Go to Yahuwah. Please say, please show my wife the way that I want her to go, which is your way, Father, which is your way, Abba, which is your way, El Gabor, which is Mighty El. Show me this way. And when you start putting forth fruits and she sees it, and if she's like, and turns from it, he will discipline her. He will shame and humble her. Not you, she will. To a point where she eventually will come back around to you and say, hey, I think you were right. I think he kind of punished me a little bit because of what I said to you or how I treated you. Trust me, fam, it'll happen. If Yahuwah can harden the heart of Pharaoh to keep denying from his children to ever be gone from Egypt, and then let 10 plagues roll over that land and still harden his heart every single time, you think that the Most High can't humble your woman's heart in order for her to come back around to you and say, hey, you know what? You're right. You think that he can't do that? Trust me, fam. I've seen him do it. I prayed for it and I seen it happen. But when it happens, you love them extra for it. You be extra compassion for them. Because you know it's in this generation, it's a ruach. It's not the flesh you're fighting. It's the spirit you're fighting. And the worldly doctrines that they sometimes attach themselves to, because let's face it, women self-soothe too. They escape too. And it's usually within the confines of this world when it comes to doctrines. That's all it is with them. It's doctrines. Sometimes you're not even fighting the person yourself. You are fighting something they saw online 10, 15 years ago. And it has worked for them 10, 15 years ago, so they keep going back to it. That is what you're fighting. So if you want your wife to see the truth, fam, you have to live it. And you have to show compassion at the right time. And I would say that right time is always when you are wrong or at fault. That's the best way you can show the truth to your wife. But also you should read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the whole chapter. Another one was, hi Larry, great episode. You asked, what we'd like to know more of? Well, for me, it's how to pray to the Most High properly. It'd be great if you could cover this in the future. Keep up the amazing work. Okay. Fan O' Purple. Okay, I'm going to end the show with this. This is how I pray. And I'll set up the template of how I pray. I always lead with the Father's works. Blessing the Father's works. Acknowledging the Father's works. Then I go into what I'm asking. And then I end it with, in the name of Yahushua, or I say, with all things I pray, and then I say amen. So I'm going to give you guys a rough draft of how I pray. Yahuwah, I humbly come to you, acknowledging your works. You stretched out the foundations of Sheol, where only you know the number of souls that rest therein. You created the expanse above the firmament. You created the deep blue. You stretched out the color of the clouds, where only you know the weight thereof. Only you know the hotness of fire. Only you know how many blades of grass that are stretched on the foundations of earth. It is by you we are called into righteousness and uprightness. It is your Yeshua that will plant us by still waters. It is you who will resurrect the dead. It is you who called Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. It is you who drew our people out of the bondage of Egypt. and into a goodly place flowing with milk and honey. Yahuwah, you have created the luminaries that give light by day and small light by night. I praise you, not only the works that we see with our eyes, but you have kept the works of the wicked behind the veil until the right time you come to judge this place. Earth is your footstool, and we are your servants. So I humbly ask, Yahuwah, that you touch the hearts of my listeners. Bless them when they need to be blessed. Exalt them when they need to be exalted. For by your righteousness' sake, we serve you, exalt you, bless you, by giving thanks to your only begotten Son, Yahusha. For without his work, without him as an offering, we would not be justified in our salvation, our faith, and works. No man can deliver himself out of your hand. You are powerful with your right hand in saving and in judging. Bless my listeners, Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, for you are the Adonai of all creation. From the four-footed beast to the two-footed rodent, all things are done to work in your ways. With all things I pray, amen. That is how I pray. If you want more examples of the works that you can pronounce to the Most High, look outside. Sometimes I look at the stars and look at the moon, I'm like, wow, he really made that. I look at the palm tree and how the palm tree grows and sheds itself each time it grows. That comes from Yahuwah. My girl has put me on to all types of fruits that I have no idea what they are, but she puts me on to them. But I know this is of Yahuwah. All the fruits that I don't know that have seeds that he has created in abundance in order to serve the nutrients for man to live and walk on this earth. These things that you have to take notice of when you're out in the world. These are the things that go through my mind. Every time I see something that I don't know that's in nature, I know Yahuwah created it. Read the book of Job. You can tell in the book of Job and the book of Ezra, when Yahuwah go on one of his little, I ain't gonna say one of his little, but when Yahuwah goes into his justification of his works, what did he tell Job? He asked Job, do you know about Leviathan? Can you put a hook in her nose? Can you draw out the behemoth? Just repeat those works back. Like, Yahuwah, only you know the size of the Leviathan. Only you know the weight of this creature. Only you have designated a time for this creature to walk amongst us. I think the conversation with Ezra and the angel, he said, well, tell me this. Tell me the borders. Or measure me the borders of the foundations of earth. And he was like, I don't know that. I'm not asking to know this type of stuff. But this is what he wants you to repeat back. He wants you to repeat how smart and how wonderful his works are. We can't see that there are chariots pulling the sun and moon through its stages. We don't see that, but it's there. Those are one of the things you read the book of Enoch, you could pronounce back to the Most High. Oh, Most High, you are gracious and wonderful. For you alone have hidden your chariots of fire to pull the moon in its respective places. It is you, Yahuwah, that has even commanded and disciplined the stars that were not in their proper sequence, that you have deemed them for judgment. Read the book of Enoch and read the conversations of Job, and you'll be able to pull what you need to pull to in worshiping, exalting, and blessing the works of Yahuwah. Like it says in scripture, his words will not come back void. So even then, sometimes in my prayers, I actually pray his words back to him. I say, Yahuwah, you said that your word will not return to you in void, that you will send it to do what as you please. And it says, you, Heavenly Father, would do vengeance if we do not do it ourselves. Can you justify me in this matter on my issue? And the Most High is not going to be an Elohim that lies to you. And he will come through for you. So another way that I pray is repeating the words the Most High has said to his children and repeat it to himself. Yahuwah, you said if we turn to you, you will turn to us. So if you have an issue in a matter, you bring that matter to the altar. And then you say what Yahuwah has said concerning certain things that either happened in your life or you're going through. And if it's repeated itself in scripture of somebody going through the same thing, you repeat his words. You told David, you told Yirmiyahu this. If I be your servant, if I be your child, if I be of your inheritance, I ask for you to answer me in this matter. And he will answer you. That's the beauty of this. We serve an awesome Elohim, that he will not lie to us. He will not forsake us. He will not lead us astray. That's amazing. That's true. If we turn to him, he will turn to us. He has said this. He said, if you offer me, if you give me my meat offering, if you fill my storehouse with meat, I will offer up so much blessing from heaven, you won't even have room to store it. I said this prayer back to the Most High before, and I was blessed abundantly within my own phase of my walk. He's not going to give me all something I can't handle, but he blessed me every step of the way to keep going back to him. That's all the Most High wants. He wants his just due. He has all the people up on heaven singing to him constantly, worshiping him constantly. But us down here that are fighting the fight. See, up there, they're not fighting the fight. They're already in heaven. Down here, he wants to see us fight the fight down here. And then give him his just due. The whole point is, Satan, who is what he created to be above all of the seraphim and the cherubims and the angels, he did not want to worship the Most High after a while. And then the fallen angels did not want to worship him. So the whole fight, the whole war is, look, I made people who can't fly, who dumb as hell, who don't know nothing, who ignorant, but I'm going to watch them. I'm going to watch over them and watch them come to me. I'm going to watch something lower than you, way dumber than you, lower than you, weaker than you, worship me and tell me all the things that I've done while you couldn't do it. And you're made better than they were. That's the whole part of this war. That's what he wants to see you do, or see us do. That's what he wants. Just like your parents, when you want something from your parents, do you not go butter them up? Dad, Mom, you guys are so great to me. You guys have done, can I go stay? We've done this before. Have you not tried to butter up your parents? Butter up the Most High. He's the most awesome, powerful Elohim ever, but he still needs his attention. He needs his just due. If you read scriptures, I'm telling you, this part's in, he gets his feelings hurt. The Most High gets his feelings hurt. He has emotions. Every time the Israelites have done something stupid, it has grieved him. It has hurt his feelings. It had pissed him off to a point where he's like, I don't even want to see y'all anymore. I'm going to let the world deal with you. So with the reverse is that if you give him his just due, he will bless you abundantly, especially if it's coming from the heart and it's coming from a good place. But you cannot come to him, like it says, double-hearted. You can't say, oh, I love you so much, and then turn around, love your flesh. So if you, to bring this whole episode in, if you want to, if you really want to please the Most High, you got to make it about him. And don't make it about yourself. Making it about him will clean out all the impurities when you are ever trying to make it about yourself. When you are more focused on the Most High, you forget yourself. Truly, you do. You forget you even want a covering. You forget you want abundance. You forget you want blessings. Once he find out you forget you want those things, you want only but his attention and his favor and his love, you'll get everything you've ever gotten, or you will get everything that you ever lost in this life back twice as much as you lost. Look at Job. Job got tried. Yeah, he failed, but at least he had a new understanding of what the Most High was or is. And then he got more back than he ever lost. This says in scripture, and you need to say this in this prayer too. When he says, I will repay you for what the cankerworm has eaten, what the locust has taken, what the caterpillar has eaten up. I've said this to the Most High, and everything I've lost, I've been getting back. Over time, I've been getting it back. Because the prayer I said 3 or 4 years ago. I'm gonna end it with this because I just seen this question. How do you find your purpose in this matrix? First, you find the purpose within yourself. What do you need to conquer that's in your bloodline? If alcoholism is a spirit that keeps going, that keeps tormenting you, that is your purpose to beat it. If fornicating is a part of your behavior that you're trying to fight, that is your purpose to beat it in this matrix. Whatever this matrix wants you to do, you do the opposite. That is your purpose. Once you really beat yourself, then you're going to be looking for enemies to beat. That is also your purpose. So it could start off being, okay, I've gotten a bearing of who I am when it comes to scripture. I got the Ruach. Now that Ruach is going to tell you, all right, now you have beat yourself. Now you have conquered yourself. You conquered your ego. You conquered your pride. Now I want you to go help. That is your purpose in this matrix. To beat yourself, your pride, and your ego, and to help others. That is your only purpose. In scripture, it talks numerous times of how you should look out and protect the fatherless and do good to the widow. And give alms to the poor. And defend those who can't defend themselves. That is our only purpose in this walk. Other than praising, worshiping, and walking the walk and doing the feast days. Other than that, that is your true purpose. If your thing is to first fight your generational curses. Fight your own generational bloodline spirits. That tormented and chewed up your bloodline. But when it comes to you, that is your purpose, is to beat your generational curse. Beat yourself next. Then go beat your enemies. Anybody who speaks lies. Anybody who's trying to harm the fatherless, the widow, and those who can't defend themselves. That is your purpose. I'll see y'all next week.